It is my honor tonight to introduce to you not only Dr. Steve Fisher, but my friend. Our college president that we graduated under went to heaven recently. How many times did I hear him say, either in class or chapel, greatness is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. Well, I've known Brother Fisher for 4 decades, and he's just as faithful and solid today as he was 40 years ago. Here's a man that's been through a lot of battles. We got a lot of scars together, amen? Some of them we gave each other. but I am honored to be Brother Fisher's friend, and I mean that. We don't get to spend a lot of time together, but when we do, we're not gossiping. We're talking truth. We're trying to help people. Several times he's called me. I've called him, sending students his way and say, hey, this one needs help in this way. Can you help him? Here's a man that loves people. He's loyal to principle. He's loyal to that book right there and has taken more stands than most people ever thought of taking for it. But here's a man that's loyal and a man that loves God and walks with God. You don't walk the battles and get through the battles that he's been through without that. Fellas, you sang, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Brother Steve, in about 2 or 3 weeks, I'll celebrate 46 years preaching. I can't hardly believe it. I'm not that old, but I guess I am. I'm starting to feel it. But seriously, it thrills my heart to watch these young men. I start to understand what Brother Hiles would say when he'd watch young men get up, and you wonder what battles they got to face. Fellas, it's worth it. Wouldn't trade it. You're sitting in a church full of folks that love their preacher and that I love them, and there's not a thing in the world I'd rather do. There's not a place in the world you could offer me that I'd rather be than right here. And I thank God I've got friends like Brother Fisher. Thank God we've got Brother Fugit in Commonwealth Baptist College. And I thank God for his friendship. And Brother Fisher, come preach. Amen.
Well, it's a delight to be back. I tell you what, man, it's almost like a family reunion. I like seeing familiar faces. And boy, I tell you what, graduates, boy, we just students, boy, we got the whole hodgepodge right here. And then Brother Whip has sent his kids to Commonwealth. And so I say to each and every one of you, we're just disappointed Brother Arcola doesn't have any more kids. That's what it is. We've had him on a payment plan since the beginning of the college, I think, haven't we? But boy, it is. It's a delight to be here. And boy, I think of this church. I think of this church, and I think of your pastor every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, I think of you all. And I think of your pastor, and I pray for you all. What a delight it is. Boy, I hope you realize what you have as a church family when you have a church like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And I always remind myself, you know, one of the hardest things about traveling and preaching is hearing people say nice things about you. And I always have to remind myself, I'm a bus kid. I'm a bus kid. I was saved by the grace of God because of the bus ministry. And boy, I tell you, I'm grateful for the grace of God and his goodness. And he's just been so good to me and my family, my children, and I am blessed, and I'm blessed. I can only say God is good, and he's good all the time. Well, would you take your Bibles this evening, and let's go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, 2 Corinthians is God's message about pain, power, and purpose. Here, God shows how he uses our trials to display his strength. Now, the book of 2 Corinthians, it's a deeply personal book. This is a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to believers that he loved, but they were struggling understanding his suffering. So much to the point that some in Corinth were beginning to question Paul's apostleship because of the trouble he was experiencing in his life. And so they assumed that if a man was truly called of God, that his ministry would look smoother and easier. And so Paul writes this letter to correct that kind of thinking. He wants them to understand suffering does not disqualify a servant of God. It often authenticates him. And so Paul here, he's writing as a man who is overwhelmed. Now, it's almost contradictory to say in one statement that the great apostle Paul was overwhelmed, but that's how he writes in this chapter right here. In this opening chapter, Paul writes, and he wants us to see one of the darkest moments in his ministry. And he's not doing that to get sympathy, but to teach us how God works when life is heavier than we can bear. So I want you to understand as we read this chapter here, he is just reminding us how God wants to help us here. With that in mind, look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As you're seated there, allow me to begin reading at verse number 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I hope and I believe you understand as we're seated in church on a Wednesday night that there are moments in life when the problem is bigger than our personality. The problems of life are bigger than our life experience. There are those times when you can't think your way out of it. You can't work your way out of it. And that's where we find the Apostle Paul. Here is a man who loved God deeply, and yet as you read these verses, you understand this was a man that was at his breaking point. And what the scriptures show us is not how to avoid these moments, but how God meets us in these moments. I see in verses 7-9, the pressure that overwhelmed Paul. Paul begins by reminding the Corinthians that suffering and comfort, they're connected. Yes, notice the words, as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. God never wastes a wound. And the hurt that drives us to God today becomes the comfort that we can share with someone else tomorrow.
That's right.
Paul opens the door and lets us see behind the curtain. Notice he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Misunderstood suffering that can shake our faith in God. And whenever life falls apart, boy, the devil immediately starts whispering lies. Boy, if you love God, this would not happen. He whispers, if you were really spiritual, you would not feel this way. If you had more faith, you would not be overwhelmed. But the great apostle Paul, he was overwhelmed.
Yes.
One of the greatest Christians who ever lived said, I was pressed out of measure. I was pressed above strength.
Yes.
Sometimes when you and I, we read the biographies of great Christians, we imagine that they kind of floated through life untouched by sorrow and difficulty, but nothing could be farther from the truth.
That's right.
They cried like we cry.
Yes.
They struggled like we struggle.
Yes.
They fought disappointment and discouragement just like we do.
Yes.
And so the difference is not that they never got overwhelmed. The difference is they learned where to run when they were overwhelmed.
Amen.
Look here how the apostle Paul words it for us. He says, pressed out of measure. It's those times in life when responsibilities keep stacking up. I'm talking about work. I'm talking about family, bills, ministry, and health. And it's almost like it squeezes the very life out of you. Then he uses the word above strength. Have you ever tried to lift something and you came to the point where you realize, I just can't lift it above strength? The case here is not about trying harder, Paul is saying. It's about admitting to yourself, I don't have what it takes. And he said he was to this point despaired even of life. Have you ever sat in a hospital waiting room in the middle of the night? It's almost like time slows down. You can't fix anything. You can't control anything. And maybe for the first time in your life, the thought crosses your mind, I don't know if this thing's going to turn out okay. In this passage, Paul is removing every thought of self-sufficiency. See, God allowed a situation that Paul could not fix, so Paul would rely on a God who specializes in resurrection power. Some of us are still trying to fix with the flesh what only God can fix by his power.
Yes.
Oh, we try to manage everything ourselves. We're trying to hold the family together ourselves. We're trying to carry those burdens ourselves. We're trying to control the outcome. And God, in his love, sometimes lets us reach the end of ourselves. Not because God hates us. Some people will never really trust God until they come to a place where trusting God is all they have left.
Yes, sir.
And verse 9 gives us the reason. Look, if you would, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. This is where hope is born. It's not when the pressure is removed. Some of the greatest dangers in the Christian life, they are not our weaknesses, but our strengths. Yes. God will sometimes bring us to a place where what we have always depended on no longer works. There are people sitting in churches every week in every service. They know how to function without depending on God. But we need his unction to function. Oh, I understand. We know how to organize. We know how to work hard. We know how to smile. But deep down, we're exhausted. And sometimes God lovingly removes the crutches that we lean on so that we will fully lean on him. Sometimes God lets the brook dry up before he teaches us that he is the fountain of life.
Yes, sir.
I see the pressure that overwhelmed Paul. In verse 10, I see the power that sustained Paul. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 10. You might want to mark this in your Bible. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I love that passage because those words, who delivered us, they remind us how God has delivered in the past.
Yes, sir.
And you are seated in church tonight, and if you look back at your life, you'll remember those times in life when your back was up against the wall and you didn't see any way forward, and yet you're in church tonight. You want to know why? He delivered you in the past.
Yes.
But then the Bible says, and doth deliver. That's the present tense.
Yes.
It's not enough to know that God delivered me in the past, because God delivered me in the past. Whatever you are facing today, God is able to sustain you. God is able to deliver you even yet today. And yet the passage says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That's the future. You see, God's faithfulness in yesterday's crises becomes the foundation for today's trust. That gives me hope tomorrow. I know that God delivered me in the past. I know he can deliver me today. And whatever will come this week, I understand God did it in my life in the past, and God can handle my tomorrow.
Amen.
Paul is not trusting in outcomes here. He's trusting in a God who he knows can raise the dead.
Right.
And he is saying to you and I, God is worthy of our faith. And I say to you tonight, trust God to do what only God can do in your life.
Amen.
There are burdens in this room even tonight that no one else knows. Some of you, it could be you're carrying fears. Some are carrying grief. Some of you, it's financial pressure. It may be family heartache. And if you and I are not careful, we can start measuring our problems against our strength. But you and I must measure our problems against our God. Paul said here, in whom we trust, not in ourselves, not in our plans, but in God. And Paul isn't just saying here, God rescued me. He's saying to us tonight, God can be trusted again. It's not a faith that says life is not going to be hard. It's a faith that says, even if it kills me, God can raise me from the dead. And he's saying here, if God can raise the dead, God can handle what keeps you awake at night.
Yes.
I see in verse number 11, the prayers that supported Paul. Paul turns his attention to something I think sometimes we overlook, and it's those words there, ye also helping together by prayer for us. You understand, prayer is more than just a polite sympathy. When I pray for you and you pray for your pastor, that is participation in God's work. The Corinthians here were not bystanders in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They became co-laborers through their prayers for Paul. And so when God answered, notice what happened according to the verse, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many. He's saying your many prayers brought one deliverance, my deliverance. But because of my one deliverance, many people gave thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving glorified one God. So when Paul is talking here and writing to the Corinthians, he's saying to the Corinthians, God did this for me, and God can do it for you too. That's what he's saying. Some victories in the Christian life will not come because of our strength, but because someone else prayed when we couldn't. And I say to you as a church family, never underestimate what God can do when his people pray together believing. When you get a prayer sheet, you take that home and you invest in time bringing those burdens and cares before a God who can deliver. That's what he's saying. So what do you and I do when life is bigger than we are? I think we have to understand God allows pressure that we cannot handle to teach us to trust in a God that we cannot exhaust. Life is going to bring moments that are bigger than you, but no moment is bigger than the God who raises the dead. That's what he is saying. And so he says to the Corinthians, God brought me through, and he wants them to know when God brings you through, you'll be able to say as I did, God did this for me. And then with confidence, we can say to someone else, God can do the same for you too.
Amen.
Some of us have gotten so used to carrying pressure that we don't even realize how heavy it has become. You smile in public.
and hurt in private.
That's right.
You keep going because, well, I have responsibilities. You keep functioning because you know people are depending on me. But inwardly, you're exhausted. The amazing thing as I read the Bible is, I want you to know if that's you tonight, God already knows that. And God is not pushing you away. God is inviting you to trust him. That's what he's doing. It was a few years back and I was struggling with my arthritis. And I was hospitalized with because of my arthritis. And after all of those tests that they run and everything, I remember being in my rheumatologist's office there in the Cleveland Clinic as Dr. Brian Mandel sat across from me, and here's what he asked me. And it, I wasn't working for Pastor Fugit at the time, just so you know. You'll understand here in a minute. I preached this sermon. Someone said, man, I knew he was a hard guy to work for. No. It was before I came to the college. Here's what my rheumatologist asked me. Is your job, are you under a lot of stress?
No.
You know what I said? No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And I can remember it. I can see him as he uncrosses his legs and he sits forward and he says, it's stress. I thought I was managing it well. But I needed someone who would be honest and say, you're not managing it well. I'm talking to someone tonight. You think you're managing it well, and God wants to help you in your need, but you're too proud. You're too self-sufficient to admit that you need help.
That's good.
Paul said, God brought me to a point where I needed to realize, and I had to realize, I can't do this on my own. And some of you, you haven't brought that to the Lord. You really haven't. No matter how many times you have sung, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, you know in your heart of hearts, you haven't given that over to the Lord. You're still thinking you can work it all out. I got it. And you smile in public, and you hurt in private. The same God who carried Paul can carry you.
Yes.
And the same God who delivered Paul can deliver you.
Amen.
And the same God who heard the praying Corinthians still hears praying Christians.
Yes, sir.
Boy, oh boy. As a church, if we know someone is struggling, we have a responsibility to pray for them. And not only pray for them, That is an opportunity for a church to care. You know what it's like to carry a heavy burden and for a small kind gesture by someone can just lift you up at a time when you need it. That's what I'm calling on the church to do. I want you to be a praying church. I want you to be a caring church. As I was preaching tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit was nudging someone tonight. He was ringing your bell. Some of you, you shook my hand and you smiled. But some of you are in a pressure cooker right now. And so I just ask you, are you tired of trying to do it yourself?
That's good.
I'm asking you, sincerely, give God a chance with that thing. And I understand God doesn't always answer right away. But I stand before you tonight as someone, as a recipient of his goodness and his grace. God is good.
Yes,
he is good. But some of you, you won't ask God to help you. I can do it myself. And you're frustrated and you're tired. Allow God to do what only God can do in your life. I ask you, when's the last time from a sincere heart you went to the altar praying and believing, God, I'm coming tonight and I'm talking to you sincerely and I'm saying, God, I've tried it myself and I'm just tired. God, I can't do it. I need you. That's what I'm asking tonight. And then some of you, after you pray that prayer, you got to be like me. You might have to go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm asking for a breakthrough in my life. I'm asking God to do something. But preacher, I need help. Don't be so proud, so self-sufficient that you won't turn it over to the Lord and you won't ask people who can help you. That's what he is saying here. Some of you tonight, your back is up against a wall. And by no means am I downplaying your burden. But I am inviting you tonight to bring it to the Lord and keep bringing it to the Lord. Quit trying to work your way out of it, think your way out of it, manipulate it. Bring it to the Lord tonight. Because he has delivered in the past, he will deliver, and he will yet deliver. Give God a chance. Here's what I say to you. You came to church tonight. Why not do business with God then? You came to church. Now let's give God a chance to work in your heart. All right? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, she's going to begin playing the first note of that first stanza. If God spoke to your heart, I want to encourage you to leave where you're at and come to the front and use the altar. I understand you can make a heartfelt and sincere decision where you're standing. But I also know there's something humbling and humiliating about coming and kneeling at an altar. You're admitting to God, I submit, I surrender. You don't care what people think. You go on record as saying, I need God. If God spoke to your heart after I pray, I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading. Spirit of God, your people are hurting and they need you to show yourself real in their lives like you did in Paul. God, I pray that you would have your will and way in this invitation. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.